Here we go then. I made some notes this time. It's amazing when you're sort of thinking about preaching, you think, oh, that's a good idea. Then you sort of start making the notes. Up. Right then. You start making the notes and then you get a cascade. It's like pulling down the beans in Tesco's. Of all the stuff, you open up a subject and you think to yourself, there's this, there's that, there's everything else. So Phil said to me 20 minutes. Apparently I preached longer than that last time, but he's saying 20 minutes because you can't keep your attention for longer than 20 minutes. You know, so that's it. Okay. I just had to talk about the bride. All right. The missus said I ought to write more scriptures down. I think she's right, but I haven't. But there you go. Where did the idea of the whole bride thing come from? Well, you've got the bridegroom, Jesus the bridegroom, coming, and the wedding feast in heaven in the book of Revelation. Where did that whole idea sort of come from? And I sort of thought to myself, well, the first place that you actually see any form of bride or union or relationship like that is in Genesis, where you get Adam and you get Eve is made from Adam. And you get that relationship actually brought up in there where God shows Adam the whole of creation. And when you think about it, how you watch David Attenborough and all that stuff, we know how amazing creation is. Yet Adam wasn't impressed. He wanted something else. So God actually took from his rib and made Eve, which seems like a bit of a simple thing to do. But when you read into it, the term rib actually means life as well. The term means life as well. So he took the life from Adam and made Eve from it. So he made this sort of codependent kind of thing going on. And gave her equal dignity with him. So the two of them were equal. The two of them were dependent on each other. So you had that relationship in the unfallen earth that was made by God to work, you know, in the way that God had ordained it to work, so that we would caretake and look after the earth and look after creation and do all that stuff, right? So they were spiritually equal, they were physically equal, and they were soulfully equal in their own things. They were creative, and it talks about them husbanding the earth, looking after the earth itself. Unfortunately, I don't think God was surprised that we fell. You know, he didn't seem to be caught out by it. And it had made provision in the actual relationship for redemption. So you actually see in the working out of those relationships, you see how God used the bride and the bridegroom to actually redeem the whole earth. That principle to redeem the whole earth. So, in the Bible, we find many expressions of that. And even though we, as a people, are imperfect, well, we know that we're imperfect, because if you've ever been married, you know how imperfect you are, because she's a mirror to you. She'll show you what's actually really going on in your life. If you think your wife isn't going to show you anything new, you're making a mistake, sort of thing. So, anyway, in the Bible, we have a story of Ruth and Boaz, and it shows a character of Boaz who, because he was an old fella, who did really, really amazing things. He is a guy who was upright and he was faithful with God, But when this woman comes into his life, he actually redeems her, but redeems her in a way that is correct according to the law, according to everything that's going on. Even though Ruth's mother-in-law, who's an Israelite mother-in-law, she comes along and she actually says, you know, go and sleep at the bottom of his bed. You know, she's sort of like, you know. So she does that. And Boaz says, no, we're not going to do it this way. We're going to do this properly. So he actually not only does the thing properly, he actually wins out in the end of the time, because there's a kinsman redeemer involved in the whole thing. And, you know, I'm not used to using notes, you know. It's really weird using notes. I'm just going to talk. So, I'm not used to using notes. Right, so here we go. We've got Ruth. She's come out of a famine. She's lost her husband, and she's going along, and she's sort of going along, and she said to Naomi, wherever you go, I'll go. Whoever you think, your God will be my God, and all that stuff. So she's changed, she's converted from this kind of Moabite thing that's going on to following the Jehovah, the God of her mother-in-law. So the mother-in-law's there, and she's going, you know, you can, Boaz is really good, he's a good bloke, he's a bit old, but you know, he's okay. Go and sleep at his feet. So she goes and sleeps at his feet. Boaz is there, and he finds her at the feet, and he says, you can't do this. No, I'm not going to just take you because you're there. We have to do this properly. You must have a kinsman redeemer. So then what happens is he goes out and seeks the elders, and he says, is there a kinsman redeemer amongst Ruth's people? And they say, yeah, there's one. So he goes to that bloke, and he says, you're the kinsman redeemer. Are you going to redeem this girl or not? And he goes, nah, I'm not interested. So there's this whole thing where he takes his shoe off, and they have an agreement and all that stuff. And Ruth is redeemed by Boaz. Now, in that situation, you think, well, it's a bit messy. It's got like a famine, and it's got all lots of travelling and lots of hardship and stuff like that. But in that situation, you end up with Boaz and Ruth together, and it says he was the father, mother and father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. So in that whole mess, that whole situation, they're doing the right thing, they end up with David. David's a bit sort of out there, isn't he? He's sort of like killing people all over the place and doing this whole thing. His marriage and his relationship was a bit odd, you know, to say the least, if you've read your Bible. But out of that doing the right thing and a desire to do the right thing, the bridegroom, Boaz, doing the right thing by the bride, has brought a redemptive process in. So then, what I was thinking about then was, you have Song of Songs in the Bible. Now that is a completely different thing altogether. You're thinking to yourself, well, how does the bride and the bridegroom and all that sort of stuff eventually sort of work out with the Song of Songs? The Song of Songs is a sensuous thing. It's about feelings and passion and chasing the lover over the mountaintops like the hind on high places, and him coming in and finding her in, locked up and away, and drawing her out into the springtime and the fruitfulness of the earth and things like that, and the fragrance of her hollows and all sorts of strange sort of stuff going on. And you're thinking to yourself, well, how does Ruth and Boaz, who are doing everything right, have all this, the Bible, same book, has got all this stuff about sensuality and crazy stuff like that in it. You know, it's sort of like, it's the same book, the same God. You know, it talks of, it's a funny thing is that when they talk about the Song of Songs, you think it would be something that you just sort of took your son to one side and take him into the bedroom and go, right, you're 13 now, right? Song of Songs, we're going to talk about the Song of Songs. No, they talk about this thing. The Song of Songs is read at the Passover. It's really weird to us, who are kind of nice and straight and square around our edges, and we don't talk about that thing unless we're down the pub with our mates. You know, just weird. You know. It talks about the lover, who is supposed to be God, being drunk on love. Now, you can't turn around and say, oh, God is drunk on love. Or can you? Because being drunk is like, oh, he's out of control. No, we can't have that, can we? But in the Bible, it says the lover is drunk on love. His passion is for us is such that there is a kind of drunkenness about him. He's intoxicated. He's intoxicated with his love for us. He's got all the creation out there, but he's intoxicated with you. Yeah? And I was thinking about the whole thing. And you get to Joseph and Mary, which are in there. I'm going to get rid of the notes. You get Joseph and Mary. People say to you, who's the first bloke you want to meet when you get to heaven? Well, my bloke is a rabbi in Nazareth, because he was kind of a crazy kind of guy to accept that whole thing. And he must have known something about Mary that maybe nobody else knew. He must have known something about the bride that nobody else knew. That when she came to him and said, do you know what? I'm pregnant. But I'm not pregnant by man. I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. What did that rabbi know about Mary? He didn't just lock her up. He didn't have a stone. He didn't shame her before the people. What was it about that woman that he knew above everything else? Then Joseph, who's the bridegroom, gets a message to say, just marry her. I mean, in this day and age, nobody cares about marriage too much, because it's been sort of undermined a little bit. But Joseph himself took on and carried and covered what was there in front of him, even though he didn't understand it. So here we go. If God is coming back, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a bride. What bride is he coming back for? Is he coming back for Ruth and Boaz's situation? Is he coming back for the Song of Songs situation? Is he coming back for Joseph's and Mary's situation? Is he coming back for your situation? It talks a lot of things in the Bible about being ready and being like, don't be the virgins that have not got the oil. Don't be the virgins that have not had their things trimmed. Don't be the ones ready to be married but are not ready. There will be some that are and some that aren't. Right? He's coming to, when he comes back, he's coming to finally rescue the whole thing. It's all going to make sense in the end. Right? The main thing for me to chuck all this stuff out at you is, there, and there's tons and tons and tons of it, is it's important that we do not lose our first love, that we do not lose the Song of Songs in our lives. Don't let that get pressed down. Don't let that passion, don't let your desire for the lover get pushed down. Don't let your rigidness bring so much fear into your life that the excitement of the presence of the Holy Spirit makes you feel like you're on a roller coaster just about to go over the top. Run with it. Run with the whole thing. And we got busy lives, but being married is busy. And working life out is a busy thing. But work it out with passion. Work it out with creativity. Work it out with a desire to be more than you actually are now. Right? In the way that a bride gets married, and what's the first thing that happens? The thing you can't stop happening in a lot of cases is you end up with kids. You end up with offspring somewhere along the line. And those offspring are there's no book, there's no nothing. They do their own thing. They're all little creators of God, and they're all doing their own thing. You want them to be independent, so they are. And they don't like what your independence is. You've learned to be creative, they've learned to be creative another way. Right? You go, yes, this is it, this is the way to go. They go, yeah, we can get there, but we're going that way. Right? But we love you. Yeah, we love you too, but we're still going that way. You know, it's an important thing to as a church, to realise that even the blokes are brides, right? Part of the bride, whatever, because it's a thing, right? And part of actually living as a living being is that to work within the creativity and the passions of you, that you've been given by God. Many, many women in families do other things than run families. Many men do other things other than things. A lot of guys go off down the pub. That's not very creative, but it's kind of, you know. But there are women that do other things, and their involvement with other people is their passion. There are people whose involvement with other people is their passion. They're not locked down into this circle of protection where they just stand inside and just hope that when the second coming happens or COVID turns up, it doesn't come inside their circle. And the reason why I'm sort of like saying these things is because I find it very challenging to do more than just turn up here every Sunday. This circle here that we sit inside and we feel okay as long as we've got our masks on, etc., is not the place of life until you bring what you do outside in here. When you bring your lost mates to church, what are you going to give them? Are you going to give them the love, the passion, and the creativity of the bride? Are you going to give them the offspring of the bride? are people, your kids are going to see people get healed in this place because they are the offspring of the bride and they see their God doing things that you've led them to see as the bride. You're going to show them the lover that walks amongst us, the bridegroom that walks amongst us and who is coming again. So, anyway, I'm going to finish. Thank goodness for that, they say. Right. A bloke told me a story once. He was from the Christian Motorcycles Association. He looked like a Hell's Angel. He had a beard down here, bright red hair, tattoos, all that stuff, right? So we're there in the middle of this thing, and he's going, bridegroom's up the front of the church. He's waiting. He's looking at the vicar. He's looking around. He's going, mate, you got the ring? Yeah? Got the ring? Yeah? Got the ring. Right, sure. 5 minutes. Right, 5 minutes. She's 5 minutes late. Okay. All right. Right, 5 minutes late. Yeah? Got the ring? Yeah? Organ music's still going in the background. 10 minutes. Ah, well, she's entitled to be 10 minutes late. She's entitled to be 10 minutes late. Yeah. Right. He's getting a bit nervous. 20 minutes. She's 20 minutes late. Flipping heck. She's 20 minutes late. Okay. He's still got the ring. Yeah. Yeah, all right. Right. Okay. Organ's music's going round again. Half an hour. Blimey heck. It's looking at the vicar. It's all right, she's going to be here. She's going to be here. 3/4 of an hour. Vicar's looking at him. He's going, you want to call this son? She doesn't look like she's turning up. No, no, no. She's definitely going to be here. Definitely going to be here. Yep. Okay. So you've got the ring? Yep. Music's going. Hour. Looks at the vicar. He's just about to go, I don't know what's going on. Door. Boom. Door crashes open. This woman running up the aisle. She's got a veil on her head. Marigold gloves. She's got a fag in her hand. She hands to the bridesmaid. Nora Batty's stockings on. Still got her jeans on. Trainers. Stuff like that. Sorry, love. Had a few things to do. What sort of bride are you going to be when you turn up? You're going to be ready? Or are you going to have your marigolds on when it turns up?